Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
What's up, gorgeous? It's Lala Kent.
With Ran.
And oh my God, I'm sitting at Dear Media Studios with the Skinny Confidential. We have Lauren and Michael Bostic.
Yes.
What's up, babes?
Hi. I'm just pumped that you guys invited me on and not just Lauren. I was like, I don't know. Sometimes she's the draw. And I was like, you know.
Hell no.
No. Oh. This is all about interrogating you today.
Oh, great. We just did our podcast. And yes. It's a huge home run. Everyone's got to go listen. You guys killed it.
Yeah, Thank you so much.
We had so much fun.
I will say I'm a little intimidated. I've only been intimidated by one other guest that we've had, and it was Catherine Power. But I'm like equally as intimidated right now.
Why?
Because you're just like, you guys are like the king and queen of like podcast shit, you know?
Well,
yeah,
I don't know about that.
You guys are out there. You guys are
no, you're
there.
Killing it.
You guys have your thing going on. You're doing. You guys are good.
We've just been doing it a little longer, but we have our moments. It's not always a home run.
No.
Well, by the way, I love having you on, Michael, because it's always great. Like Randall always says, like he has like three fans, but I don't think that's true.
No, I think I have like five or six now.
I think it's the same for you.
I'm a huge fan now.
Hold on.
And vice versa.
I think people are fans of yours. Like you think like, oh, people are only drawn to Lauren. I know. Hey, you did the same thing, Lauren. You were all over Randall. Okay. I had no one on my team at the beginning of your podcast.
Wow.
You know what, Lala? You're 100% right. They come to the show just for me. You're right.
So my first riveting question is, Lauren, how the fuck do you get those eyebrows?
Your eyebrows look amazing. I've been staring at them.
But you feather them perfectly. I mean, come on. What is this?
Here's the trick. And I've never shared this on any of my platforms. I don't know why. Got to be glued.
Okay.
You know, men's got to be glued.
100%.
No. The yellow bottle.
Yeah.
The old hair spiking hair gel.
Yes. You take a spoolie and you put it in your brows and you brush them straight up. And that is honestly going to change everyone's life. And by the way, Michael...
We just had someone come on the show and talk to me for about 40 minutes about how terrible
tadpoles.
I look in my eyebrows.
Well, they pull your face down. You got to brush them up every day.
Wow. Like,
my face is falling off. It's going to be gone in a year.
Holy
shit. You got
to
be glued. That's honestly the best. That's one of my best beauty tips I could give everyone. Got to be glued.
I love that you say that because I have spent so much money on like these waxes and just everything to try and get my eyebrows to look like yours. So got to be glued. Love it.
Your eyebrows look really good. Just I'm just telling you, they look great.
Your eyebrows, everybody's eyebrows look great. Now I'm like bugging the fuck out. I'm going to go to the bathroom and check my shit out.
Eyebrows are important.
Wow. You guys are like, I mean, this is intense.
Okay, so.
I want to hear the history because I really need to be educated just on how you guys met, how the relationship started, because I love the romance.
Oh, you want the breakdown
I
first.
Want the whole shit.
All like, right,
you met.
Do it.
You guys said you met when you were 12?
Well, Michael was 4'1".
I was 12.
I was 5.
I was in sixth grade.
I was 5'7". I was the same height I am now. And I saw him and I thought he was so cute.
You know what I thought? I saw her and she was the only fully developed woman on the playground because...
I was. I looked like...
I thought she was the
weird.
Substitute teacher.
I relate to that. Puberty early.
Yeah. And then you that was like your peak.
That was...
Like you didn't get bigger boobs later. You didn't
grow
after that.
Well, I did. I got fake ones. But like I...
You and me both.
Yeah, I went and got fake ones later, but when I was little, they were pretty big.
Yeah, Michael was looking at you.
They
like,
were the only ones.
I'm gonna
there.
Give
right.
her a baby.
They
one
were the only
day.
Ones in the class.
I mean, who knows?
I looked over. I was like, oh, the new sub's here. She's pretty fucking hot.
Wow.
And then I realized she wasn't because. At the time, I was just doing little kid stuff. I was like playing probably tetherball, handball, and then all of a sudden I looked over him. I became a man that day. I was like, that's it. I grew up right away.
Dude.
Wait. We started dating in sixth grade.
What city?
San Diego.
Okay, got it.
And we progressed very fast. Like my dad found us in the closet without t-shirts on at 12 years old.
Wow.
Wow.
Like crazy, crazy chemistry. And then like gave him a blowjob like at 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's why we're becoming Amish. When my daughter turns 13, we're moving to Amish country.
Right. So. You're locking it up.
Yeah.
Because payback's
12,
a bitch.
12. Yes.
Yeah.
So we had this like very intense connection at a very young age. And then at about 15 years old, we broke up.
Okay, 3 years together. You're in high school now.
So you break up at 15.
We break up at 15. I go for older guys. He does, like,
it's
I don't
the typical
know.
Story,
goes
right?
Back
you,
to get, tetherball.
You date when you're kids.
Digs are just flying.
I went back to the handball court and cried myself to sleep.
But you're in high school together?
So as soon as we started going into high school, right? It's the same story that every guy goes through. The girl, the young girl goes off with the older guys, leaves the young guy in the dust.
Right.
And yeah, and so then, like, we were not together for a long time after
did
that.
You stay in touch all those years?
We hooked up, yeah.
Like, you come home.
Because you were comfortable with each other.
Sometimes we would hook up, and then I would just leave, like, always. So it made him, like, I feel like he just couldn't get enough, because I would, like, come and leave, and come and leave.
Sprinkle, and then leave.
Well, no, I know. Yeah, a little sprinkle.
Yeah, yeah.
This sounds really, like, corny, and I hate it to sound that way, but I had a lot of other relationships after Lauren, but I...
I'm not boring, no, boring, boring, I thought you boring. Stayed home the whole time.
But I never feel so proud of those relationships because I never was really vested in them, right? I was like, okay, like, I'm dating you, or like, you're my girlfriend, or like, where are you?
But it wasn't.
No, I didn't have that connection that I had with Lawrence. I didn't really take him very seriously.
Okay.
And I'd always, like, tell the people, I'd say, oh, like, you know, if it doesn't work out, it's fine. But I think sometimes that made it worse, you know, because you tell someone that and they don't believe it. But I really meant it. I was like, because I just didn't feel that way with other women that I felt with Lauren. And so, like, I had always chased her and pursued her because I just knew from an early age, like, this was the woman that I loved. I know that's, like, people say that, but it really was like a love at first sight connection type thing for me.
I love that.
We went away to college. He went to U of A. Did God knows what.
Had the best time ever is what.
Best time of your life.
Yeah.
It was good that we were on a little break.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So now in college, you're not together.
No. Okay. Not together.
Stay in touch, though. Good. Still hook up once in a while.
Stay in touch. He calls me. I don't pick up.
Not really. No, that's not true. Not really in touch in college. Like, you know, like, when college, you come home for the holidays to see your family? Like, I would see her sometimes out at a bar.
But you didn't hook up.
Not really. At this point. No, not really.
Okay, so now 4 years go by. College is over.
High school, college, over completely. Over. We weren't together.
My friend invites me to Vegas, and she makes a fit that I go. So I go, and the next thing I know, I wake up in a tiara with a bottle of rosé champagne next to Michael Bostick.
Stop.
Naked.
She's fast forwarding through some things.
What happened in Vegas?
What didn't happen in Vegas?
A lot happened in Vegas. I convinced her to go on that Vegas trip. We had kind of, like, seen each other briefly.
That's the similarities between you and
New York. I like this.
And so I knew that we had a mutual friend that was having a birthday party. And at this point, like, I was like, okay, I got kind of an opening again. She's on the rocks a little bit with the guy she was dating. I was just doing whatever I was doing.
Yeah. See, it's
get it right.
It's TMI. It's fine. So it's TMI. Fine. The two of you.
And I just went into full pursuit mode. Like, okay. I just was like,
oh, you were in it.
Yeah, I was like, you come on this trip. We're doing this. Like, and I, like, you know, wine, dine, like
the whole thing.
Yeah. And at that time, I was working and I had a couple bucks in my pocket. And I was like, okay, like, I can, like, maybe stand out head and shoulders above, like, with this surfer dude she was dating. And I was like, I can, like, maybe, like, get in there and, like, show her a nice dinner and, like, be a gentleman and, like, do all these things. And then after that, like, we've been together ever since.
I remember him, and I don't think I've ever told this story publicly. I remember talking to him at dinner, and I was like, what are you reading? He's a huge reader, which is a huge turn on for me.
Oh, that's cool.
Big
I like
reader.
That.
And he said, I'm reading a book on salt. And I was like, what? And he's like, salt. I'm reading about the history of salt. And he starts telling me all the history of salt, how salt used to be used as a currency, and, like, it used to be used as money. And
well,
I was
at one,
like,
point, salt was worth more than gold.
Oh, don't get him started.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but yeah.
What's the book called? Salt.
Have you ever heard, like, the term,
like,
salt.
Have you ever heard the term, like, worth its weight in salt?
Yes.
Yes.
That's where it comes from, because it was a currency.
Anyways,
I just want to understand what motivated you to read the book on salt.
I read a lot of. Sometimes I'll be looking at stuff and something will catch my eye, and I'm like, why? I've gotten in trouble my whole life because I asked why 80 times in school. I was a terrible student, not because I couldn't learn, because it was like, why?
Well,
you have to give me the explanation, explain why.
Otherwise,
like, okay,
you don't
buy. Yeah, and even, like, everything that's going on in the world, like, I get in trouble because I'm outspoken, because I'm always like, why? Like, you tell me you want me to do something, why? And if you explain it, I'm like, why?
Oh, my God.
So I have to, it's like the same, it's just how
it's like a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Of whys.
Yes.
Until he comes to, okay, I know why I should or shouldn't do that.
Do you ever come to it, or
he's
you tire them out?
Constantly questioning the status quo. Constantly.
No. I love that.
And that was a turn on. And I'd never been with a guy that had, like, this depth of intelligence. He was smart. I was attracted to his brain. his penis is great too, but I was really attracted to his brain. You know what Christ. I mean? There was so much emotional, intellectual chemistry.
Right. So you had a real deep connection.
Yes.
Okay. So you hit it again. It's like going back to the well. They wake up the
After
next day.
After he tells you about salt, you're like, I guess I'll let you hit it again.
I hit it again.
I was what like, makes if I drop the salt this line, time? I'm in.
I realized that I had been with people that there wasn't an intellectual.
Okay.
Which is why I.
It's like, yeah.
When
very
you
similar.
Came on the show, I told Michael, I was like, I completely
yeah.
get it.
Yeah.
But I also completely get it for multiple reasons. Like, I think you're adorable.
Thank
I think
you.
Sorry, I think he's the cutest on the show.
No, he's very, I'm like very
so
attracted
nice.
To everything happening
No, he's
here.
Adorable.
Yes.
So, but I think that a lot of people are missing that intellectual
connection.
Chemistry. And listen, everything goes, like, right? It all goes. Yeah. The looks, all the shit. You have to have.
100%. Totally. And by the way, I think people really fuck that up. It's like you spend so much time looking for the physical. And yes, you got to have that. Obviously, you don't have that. You know, that doesn't get you together. But I'm saying after, like you said, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, that shit starts to become not as fresh as the new car you bought. Now,
absolutely.
her and I, we have this deep kind of connection that, like, we just can talk for 4 hours to each other about everything. And I think if you know, when you have that, it doesn't matter about the rest.
I mean, I joke about, like, Lauren being fully developed and this and that. And I think if you saw her pretty Instagram page, you would come to a certain conclusion. But
right.
what I remember being a kid and getting upset with her and being like, why do you play this character up? Like, why do you act like this? I'm like, you're so smart. You're so sick. I'll be like, you're sharp. You're intelligent. All these things. Like, and it used to frustrate me. I'm like, why do you put on this front like you're this other, like, character?
Right. Lala does this too.
Like, one thing about Lauren and I is, like, sometimes we could sit still to this day and, like, talk for hours and hours and hours.
Right.
And
yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, like, the sex, you have to have chemistry and all that.
Right.
And we obviously have a child, so it's like...
So you had that. Sex. We know, right. You had it once.
But it's the other stuff that I think creates longevity.
I agree.
Correct.
I agree.
I fully agree with you. I think people put so much emphasis on, like, the sexual chemistry. And if I'm attracted to his looks and his body, and like you said, Lauren, that stuff fades. And at some point, you know, you see this beautiful woman in front of you, but when you see her every single day, you still know she's beautiful. But guess what? When you see another pretty girl, like, she's going to catch your eye more so than the person you're with, because it's new.
Frank
and
Sinatra
a shiny new object. What doesn't
fade
is when someone makes you laugh, when you can pick each other's brains, why you can ask why 100 times and educate each other. I mean, Randall and I disagree on so many things, but I love having those conversations with him. And it sounds like you guys do
it's
that.
It's constantly like challenging each other.
What did Frank Sinatra say?
Frank Sinatra said, if you go on a date with a pretty woman, it shouldn't be a staring contest, or it shouldn't just be a staring contest. And I always love that.
Oh, I love that.
That's right. Yeah. I also had this theory back in the day. It's a little off, but I was like, think about sex in your relationship. This is what I used to say. Okay, so let's pretend you're a 6 day a week sex person. Okay, it doesn't exist in the real world of relationships, but let's just pretend, because people will tell me, oh, I have it 6 days a week, even 30 years
you're
into their marriage.
You're a fucking liar.
They're liars, but it's okay. Let's play that game. So let's give it 10 minutes of the actual act, 6 days a week. That's an hour a week. That's 4 hours a month, and that's 52 hours a year. So you're going to gamble an entire future and lifetime on 52 hours a year. It doesn't make sense.
Wow, I love that, Rand.
And if people just...
Profound.
I'm just saying, if people realize...
Salt vibe.
But I'm saying, if you took 52 hours a year or even doubled it to 100 hours a year, compared to 365 days and how many hours are in that, you would never overemphasize that you'd want that connection and that hot sexual... But after that, you'd be like, God, I really better like this person. I better really love fucking with this person on the daily. And I think that's what has kept us together.
I completely agree with you. And I think what I'm seeing a lot in this day and age is people settling because they feel like they have to check a box for society. And what my biggest advice is I would be dead single if it wasn't for Michael right now. I'd be single. And I'd be fine with it. I think I'd be single. But it comes down to, like, not settling for anything but the best in every area of your life.
Me either.
You wouldn't be single?
No. Fuck no.
Who the fuck would you be with?
I know. My prospects have gone up since I started getting
into you. By the way, you've got...
I know, right?
You're at Lauren Bostick's ex.
I will use whatever tools in my toolbox to get what I need.
That makes two of us, by the way. By the way, you and I, if we were single, we'd be going out together, capitalizing on both of you.
Yeah, that's
hi, I'm Lala Kent's ex.
This is my ex-girlfriend.
Right. By the way,
wife.
I carry her around. Here she is.
such bullshit.
She says something.
It's important, though, not to settle for anything but the best in every area of your life. And that includes your relationship. If you're settling for something because you think it's checking the box it's supposed to be checking, you're going to do that in other areas, in my opinion.
The weather is getting warmer. Summer is coming, finally. And you know what that means? It's time to put all of the jackets and all the sweaters in the back of the closet and pull out all of your shorts and tees. And I know you all want some new looks for the warm summer sunshine, and you don't want to break the bank in the process. I get it. We want to ball on a budget. So do what I did and shop Quince. Now, I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking so chic year after year. Quince has premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at $30. You can find silk tops, 14-karat jewelry, and so much more. All Quince items are 50 to 80% less than many similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes all of those savings on to us. I did just get myself a fabulous cashmere tee in cream. It is so soft and yummy. It's probably just as soft as the Quince waffle towels that I got for Palm Springs. We absolutely love those towels. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Lala for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Lala to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Lala. Did you know today is a great day to warranty? Well, actually, every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with American Home Shield Warranty. I signed up with American Home Shield the moment I decided to buy my house. With an American Home Shield warranty, unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or faulty water heater won't break the bank because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of just like that. And not by me, my mom, or Easton. We wouldn't know the first thing to do if something stopped working in this house. I just contact American Home Shield when a covered item breaks, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. So having that sort of reassurance from American Home Shield is something to celebrate. When it comes to protecting your appliances and home systems, don't worry, be warranty. Visit ahs.com/GTL today to get 20% off any plan. That's ahs.com/GTL for 20% off any plan. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer.
When was the Skinny Confidential born? How did it come to be? And like, I know you said you were like bored. You decided to start it in 2011.
Totally bored. Blogging was not cool. There was nothing cool about it. Like, okay. It was actually dorky. Okay. People were just showing their outfits, and I was a bartender at a very sort of exclusive bar, similar vibes to Sir, maybe okay. A little, like, it was all the wealthy men in Rancho Santa Fe. And so I would work there at night, and then in the morning I would wake up, go to school full time, and teach Pure Bar and Pilates. And there, I was incredibly unfulfilled, and I didn't realize what it was. And it was because, looking back, I was an entrepreneur, and I wasn't tapping into that. So at about 21 years old, I'm like, I'm going to start a blog. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to build a brand off this blog and eventually launch a book, a product line, build a community. Like, I set it up as a brand when I launched the blog. A lot of people, I think, launched blogs to like show their outfit or their nail color. I launched a blog being like, how can I give so much value back to these people so that they can take little tidbits and apply it to their own life?
Love it.
So I tell this story a lot, but I think it's important for anyone who's listening to just always go on your own trajectory. I told this guy at the bar, he was drinking a rusty nail. He's like, what are you going to do with your life? I said, I'm going to be a blogger. And again, 2011.
Right. Weird. Which is not popular.
Totally weird. And he looks at me and he starts laughing, like a bellow laugh. He's like, how are you going to make money? what are you fucking thinking? And
little did he know.
Well, he just didn't realize, like, he didn't understand the internet. He ended up being like the CEO of Airbag.
No. He invented the airbag.
He invented the airbag.
Holy shit. Yeah.
And so telling the story is like, you can have this idea and you can tell the most successful person and they'll shit on it, but you have to keep keep doing what feels right to your intuition and really committing to that vision. So this was like 13 years ago, started this.
Wow.
And Michael didn't actually become involved in anything until the seventh year. And this is something that I've been doing 7 days a week.
When did it turn into a podcast?
2016.
We were drunk in Cabo and he goes, why don't we talk on a mic?
Well, what happened was at the time, obviously, like the world of blogging and influencers blew up, right? Like these terms back in the day, like you would, like now they call them influencers, but back then they were bloggers, right?
Okay.
Like, and this world blew up and people realized like, oh, there's some real money flowing into the space. Brands are obviously spending, like starting to get involved. There's real like creators that are going on these social channels and building little like micro channels and monetizable brands, right? And I was, at the time, I was running behind, like I was running retail businesses, and I actually was heading up a company called JetBed. I was CEO of it, make beds for corporate and private aircraft. I'm giving super like,
wow,
just to show you how behind the scenes I was, like not a front facing.
They've laid in a JetBed.
I
bet you guys have laid in one before.
If you've laid in those beds that,
like, that go over the dining room table.
Yes, those, so we make those.
Well, they're like 20,000, like a lot.
It was a good
Can
business.
You give them
But no, those are sick.
But just to say, like, so we were I'm behind the scenes, like not front facing. Right. At all, not right. Had no plans on doing anything on the internet, just like, you know, behind the scenes operator. And as her brand kept going, people would say, well, who's this guy that's always in the background? Like, what's his story? Probably something that's
similar. It's exactly the fucking same.
Yeah.
Who's this guy? Why is he doing?
And so she's like, hey, can you start, like, you want to go on my Instagram? And I was like, I'm not going to be taking pictures in outfits in the streets or doing the whole hand-holding thing on the beach or with these. Listen, not to
say not to hate,
but like, that's not my vibe.
It wasn't your vibe.
No. And so, she's like, well, can you write a couple pieces on the blog? And I was like, oh, once in a while. So I like wrote a couple small pieces. You probably go find them. And like mostly book recs. So I'm like, that's not my vibe either. And I was focused on operating. But clearly you can't get me to shut the fuck up. So I was like, why don't
I love this.
We do, like you have, these people have these questions. We want to answer them. I don't want to write. I don't have time to social channel. Let's start a podcast. Start it as a Q&A. At the time when podcasting had still been around, but not nearly what it is now.
Right.
And so we started that self-producing in 2016. And like, that's when I got involved with the brand, and obviously we called it the Skinny Confidential, him and her, because there was an established brand that already exists. So I wasn't like, hey, let's go call it like the Michael Show. Like, that made no sense.
Right.
Right.
And that's really what happened.
We were at a different network and, we just saw everything that they were doing wrong. And Michael's like, I'm going to blow up this space. I'm going to completely shake up this category and I'm going to have people make real money and I'm going to pull it through their social and I'm going to pull it to stories and pull it to Instagram and pull it to the blog because they're missing out on all the
like
other
all these
channels.
Other revenue.
Right.
Streams.
Like, let's sell a huge partnership.
It wasn't just that. It was like, and I don't want to say people are doing it wrong. I just felt that the model, the business model, the way you form the contracts, the way you sell, the way
it's
you market,
old.
Like,
it was
no,
old.
It just wasn't updated to a 2020 digital world, right?
Right.
And like, that's
all
the
these
world
other platforms.
That, yeah. And along the way, while I was doing that, I had an agency. I was helping brands build their products and sell online. It's like, I understood the back end. She obviously like had the front end. So I was like, there's just maybe a more updated way
to monetize.
This. Yeah. And the other thing is like, we understood it because we had and shared the pain points of talking on a mic. Like every week and like we had gone through the editing process, we've sold the show ourselves, and I was like, I maybe could do this for other creators in a more productive way than maybe some of the ways they were doing before.
And he had no Hollywood background, nothing.
Wow.
Like, he
so you just figured it all out just as you went. You built.
Well, I'm still trying to, Randall.
Slow down.
Why all the time? So if he would build something incredible because he knows exactly why things work and why they do,
I think I just came in and was like, someone gave me the blueprint of like, this is how you create a podcast network. I kind of just threw the blueprint out the window.
And just restarted.
And there's some of that blueprint that's spot on and absolutely incredible. And like, I used elements of that, but then there's other things like, I could maybe do this a different way.
How many years now has the company been in existence?
I started it in the end of 2017, but didn't start signing shows until 2018.
Okay, so 3 solid years, but 4 years been formed.
And now Dear Media has like 100 shows.
Yeah, really?
We
have...
Fuck.
Yeah.
How come we didn't get the call about signing?
Yeah, why didn't they get the call?
I don't know. Someone's head's rolling.
I'm really pissed about it. I actually have DM'd Lala probably to the point of annoying her.
Wait, really?
Yeah, you could go back. I was like...
She doesn't read her DMs most of the time.
I don't blame you. I get it.
You don't...
But I was like, I saw you on the show and I'm like, oh my God, there's so much to this girl. I want you on the podcast. And then I read your book and I was like, I have to get this girl on the podcast.
Oh my God, that's so sweet.
I love that.
Yeah, you can go back.
She's a big fan.
Oh, thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're big fans.
Yeah,
we're fans. Well, I sit in bed with this peripheral on, you guys.
I think I've seen every episode of Vanderpump. I've been very upfront about
this
that.
This season, yeah. By the way, I like that. That's a real boss that can say that.
He watches Housewives. He watches it all. Yeah.
Well, I think I love any woman who I think people kind of sleep on. They're like, oh, she's the blonde with the big boobs. Hello, daddy. And it's like, and here's my brand. Boom. And it's like, holy shit, she just won this dick measuring contest. Like, beyond. Like, I think you're inspiring. I think what you've built is incredible. And I love two people who really kind of fuel each other's fire. Yeah. You know, when they're in a relationship.
I like seeing the relationship. You can tell.
100%.
That you guys truly love each other. It's really
sweet.
Well,
I think that so much in marriage, there's two hills. And I say this on our podcast. It's like they're pushing two different boulders up two different hills. So they're both pushing boulders up, but it's two different hills. I think a true marriage is you both pushing the same boulder up the same hill. And that requires a lot of long-term strategy.
Right.
What's your vision for your life? You have to have these conversations to make sure you're on the same page, because some people's vision is a ranch in New Mexico.
Great.
And the other person's vision is a Bel Air mansion.
Correct.
Like, what's the ultimate vision and how can we work backwards to create those systems to get to the goal?
Correct.
I think that's important in a marriage.
It's very well said.
Marriage is not easy.
Brutal.
No, yeah, it's not easy. I think relationships are a lot of work, and you're constantly changing, and sometimes you're not changing together. So how do you come back to, you know, the root of the relationship? It is a lot of work, and it's a lot of
people,
commitment.
But I think marriage is like, people are growing constantly. Like, we're all, you know, wanting to evolve. You got to make sure as you're evolving that your partner's evolving with you and has the same.
Right. No, I agree with you.
So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part? Zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold. And that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now. So get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code LALA at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/LALA and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs in My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
So you have a beautiful baby girl. By the way, I was telling Michael, Lauren, that I watched your guys' stories when you were at Hotel Du Cap. I do not have FOMO ever, okay? I'm completely content in these four walls called my bedroom watching OG Housewives all day, same, every day.
No,
I'm
this
cool
is her favorite
it.
Thing. Favorite thing.
I was having so much FOMO, and then it like pushed me over the edge when you were with Meredith and her husband from Real Housewives.
Why
of
don't
Salt
we
Lake.
All do a six-some next year? Bring the kids with the
yes!
nannies, though.
We're in.
Nannies.
Yeah, you
nannies.
Guys know
that
nannies.
Would be, that would also be really fun to, no, go, to get nannies all of us together.
Yeah, we're in.
Next year,
we're in.
Let's go.
And next year, let's do it right during, like at the end of Cannes, so I could just pick up the last few days.
Perfect.
And then, you have to go
you
there
hang
every time?
Out with Al Pacino and no. Robert De Niro and no. John Travolta and no. then come and hang out with us. No. We'll see you there.
No, but you two will go to the Amfar charity at the end of Cannes together as a group.
Mike, we'll talk about salt.
Yeah, talk about salt. Yeah. We'll question everybody. Yep. No, and then, no, but then everybody's gone. Then everybody's gone, and then we'll have like a good vacation.
Yeah, it's chill.
Because I like no, it. I like it when people aren't there. I love DuCap. And I like it after Cannes. Because it's actually really quiet.
We're fun to go on vacation with, too, because I feel like we're self-aware. Like, you guys go out, do your thing, we'll go do our thing, we'll meet up. Like, it's no pressure.
We're the same.
I'm not the type of friend that's going to wake up and say, what are you doing today? Give me your itinerary.
I don't need someone popping out of the bushes and be like, it's brunch time.
No, we're the same way.
When we take people on vacation, and sometimes we take, like, a group, we go to Cabo or whatever, I'm like, listen, there's only one mandatory thing, and that's dinner one the first night, and then I don't need to see any of you for four nights. I don't give a fuck.
That's how
if
we
you
are.
Go yeah, you know, let's just have a fun kickoff, get wasted dinner, and after that I'm not interested. And we're the same way. We don't have an itinerary ever.
Sometimes you go on vacation with people though,
oh, no.
and they want to do breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snack.
No.
And I'm like, I can't.
No.
You know
no.
what I mean?
I need my alone time.
I never go back. I never go back.
I got to recharge my batteries. I feel like you're like me where everyone thinks you're an extrovert, but you're actually an introvert.
I'm completely an introvert.
I mean, recharge by yourself.
You're yes. good. You're good.
You got it. You got to recharge by yourself. You know
Very
what I mean?
Very good.
Yes. Close the
Hopefully
door.
No one's listening that went on vacation with us before.
Oh, yeah. You just alienated yourself. Don't worry. Because we're your partners now on vacation.
Honestly, don't worry, because if they did, we're never going on vacation with them again. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, right?
No, but I'll tell you, it's so funny.
Shoot yourself in the foot.
We have a trip. We have a trip to Miami for her birthday with all of our friends, and I just told him, I said, guys, just so you know, there's no schedule. There's just a birthday dinner first night, and then we don't need to see you for 4 days. Like who wants to go on vacation and be told what to do? I mean, that's like.
But you, so I'm watching these stories of you guys in Cannes, and I'm like, oh my god, I have to be there. Teleport me now. But you guys said that it was kind of rough.
It was rough because we thought we were overzealous and thought we didn't need a nanny. And what I've realized is it's not about having a nanny the whole day. It's just about wanting to go to lunch for 2 hours.
Right.
Or maybe I'd like to get laid. Like, could I have like 15 minutes to myself without her staring at me?
To contextualize.
Like, you know, big eyes in the dark. Like, she's jet lagged. The jet lag part no one talks about either with a baby. It was a lot.
Yeah, well, to contextualize and maybe make it somewhat more like relatable is we went and we just thought we can just do all this. She's 18 months old. We can go on the long flight. We can go and change hotels. We can have the same type of vacation we used to have together before we had a baby, but we'll just add the baby. And like, you just can't.
Right.
It's not possible.
Well, it becomes me babysitting when he wants to go to the gym and him babysitting when I want to sit and have a glass of rosé.
It's very hard to find time together. Right.
Yeah.
And then you miss the whole point of vacation because you need to recharge the relationship. You need to recharge the relationship.
It was a trip. Not a vacation.
And
oh my God, that's exactly what Michael said. Yeah. You guys are so on the same page.
I was trying to get after it, and then she's like, but the baby's there. I'm like, baby can't see. And I was like, trying to put the little blanket.
Oh my God.
She has these like big, beautiful blue eyes. Like, you can clearly tell she's looking directly at you.
She looks like an African lemur in the dark. Like, you know, like, she's like staring. I'm like, can you close your eyes, honey?
I can't. Oh my God.
Randall, you get what I'm saying, though, because you said like you're like okay like and Lala's more like she can just stare at the baby all day.
No, I'm like, bring the fucking nanny in because we're going to dinner and we're getting at it and we're gonna have a fucking great night and whatever happens is gonna happen and we want to come home as adults.
I'm getting better.
She couldn't get her out of the bed.
It was like, I'm not handing off the baby to this person.
Yeah, I was like,
now I have her on speed dial. She's like constantly coming in. Ocean's 5 months. People told me, you'll be done with the night nurse by 3 months. No, fuck that. Last night, you guys, she woke me up at 1. She woke me up at 2:30, 4:45, 6:45.
Then she moved me to the other side of the house. She goes, you have to be in the office, go the fuck to the other side of the house and go to sleep.
Does it get easier? Like 18 months, is that easier? Like, what is it like?
Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, my God. No.
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 It's 24.
I wish I could say yes.
18 months is gnarlier because let me give you a visual.
Around.
This is a visual.
Because they can speak.
You wake up, their eyes open. They cry. They need something. Okay, you give them the thing they need. Then they want to go on the ground and walk around. And then this is the thing that you don't even, wait till you see this. They open your drawer.
They take your CBD pen. They take your knife that you have in the drawer. They take like your matches. She's lighting a fucking
house.
The house is on fire.
Lauren just has weapons in her drawer.
Lipstick.
She's like ready for battle.
Today she played for 45 minutes with a piece of my vitamin wrapper. Like it's anything that's not a toy they want.
Oh, lovely.
At least
yeah,
for
it's
us.
A lot.
Yeah, by the way, that's like the knife. Evolution. No, that's the evolution.
She had a knife in her hand once. She loves grabbing the knives at the dinner table. Okay. It's like anything, sticking your hand in my tequila soda. I mean, it's
No, you got to watch 24/7. Because once she's at a year and a half, everything starts.
Here's what happened. We went on this trip, and it was easy. She would just sit in one place, chill, quiet. And it's like the moment we decided to go on a nice vacation, that's she over. Decided, I can move now. I can walk. I can scream. I can have tantrums. I can grab everything. And it was like literally on the way at the start of the trip. And we looked at each other like, what the hell is going on?
I read about tantrums that you're supposed to say, I understand that this is bothering you, but we can't do this because of this. And then you're supposed to go quiet. Like, you're not supposed to entertain it.
Okay.
So that's been my strategy. So at one point, she was running around the Hotel du Cap, butt naked, Mike screaming, and I just
building?
I laid in bed. I'm like, yes. You know, I'm going to lay in bed. Gym. He can deal with it because I'm not entertaining
Main
this.
Building or Eden yes. Rock?
I don't know, the main building.
It looks like main building.
I come home and I'm just from the gym, like, finally, I got a moment to relax. And I just hear a child screaming. And I was like, what is that? I was like, that sounds familiar. I was like, that's not my child. I'm like,
somebody's got to
get
mine.
I'm like, one of these asshole parents got to get their kid under control.
Right.
That's where I go to. That's where I go to.
I look over, my kid is butt naked, screaming, having a tantrum. Lauren is just
in the lobby.
I'm in bed.
Oh, you're in bed.
Yeah, I'm not doing this. I'm
having the rosé.
I'm having rosé in bed. I just am not entertaining it.
And at that moment, we were just like, we give up. We are
defeated. I give up. You quit.
You know, at some point, you're gonna go insane, and you just have to let her like calm herself down.
I
have a hard time with that.
You entertain the tantrums?
Ocean had like a go last night. She was, and keep in mind,
I just have a hard time when they're screaming, and I want to talk to them and say, you could stop.
But there
now.
Was no calming. There was no calming her down. She had to do it on her own. It was like I was holding her. I put her on the boob. I walked around. I'm bouncing her binky after binky. Like, maybe she doesn't like this nipple. Maybe my own nipple. And like nothing was working.
Yeah, it was tough.
And I'm seeing like hours pass. And finally, I was like, Randall, you go sleep somewhere else. I put my headphones in. I laid her back in her little bed. And I was like,
she fell asleep.
Yeah, she cried herself to sleep.
But it's like, that's the hard part for me, because I'm like, I want to react, and she's like, you got to just let her
you wanna
cry
reason
herself
with
to
them.
Sleep. It's like, that's a hard one. But let's go back to the nanny. When you have the nanny and the night nurse, you just
nanny.
Call her on the other side of the house. She comes running over, and before we kill each other, we hand the baby off, and now we can. But here's the thing. If we were at home, working from home, you know, people, then fine. It's a different thing. Like, you could get a 2-hour nap in the morning, a 2-hour there. I have to go to an office every day.
Sure.
She goes to the office every day. It's hard, you guys know, running businesses and not and being on no sleep.
There's no nap
it's
time.
It's fucking brutal.
Like, when the baby goes down for a nap, like, I'm at work, bro. I don't get to catch a sleep.
Here's the thing that people have to understand, too. Back in the day, kids were raised in communities with tons of people around.
Yes.
Exactly.
And now I don't have family up here.
We don't either.
Okay, I'm working and building my business. I think it's impossible not to have help.
Agree.
And like, I also think I'm really transparent about it. I had a night nurse. I had a nanny. There's a lot of influencers and celebrities that act like they do it all themselves.
Right.
That do have all this shit
really?
That don't talk about it.
I
See,
know.
That's
well, because mom shaming's real. You have these little troll moms that are like, you don't care about your kid. And it's like, actually, I care a lot about my kid. And I have this luxury that I'm going to like be extremely grateful for. But if I don't get a certain amount of sleep and I know that I can have a night nurse, like I am not going to be a good mom the next day if I'm sleep deprived.
Well, at one point when we first had our child, my mom's like, you know what? Since we don't have any family up there, you guys don't have any help. Like, don't worry about a night nurse. Like, I'll come up to your house and I'll sleep up there with you guys for 3 months. I go, oh no, you fucking won't. I was like, you are not. I love you, mom, but I was like, you are not coming anywhere inside this house. You come visit. You're here for a visit. It's
right.
A scheduled visit.
It's totally. A visit.
It's a visit.
I agree.
Yeah, and so, you know.
The mom shaming's real. They started on me when I was postpartum about a car seat belt.
Oh, she had that. She had the car seat.
That's the worst.
Debacle.
The car seat was, we were actually parked, but but they don't, they just fucking go. And then I wrote a post and I was like, I'm not the blogger to come at. I said, go somewhere else. I'm not the one. I don't give a fuck about anyone's opinion when it comes to raising my child. I don't care.
I love that.
Wow. I'm going to do you. You do you.
I need you to coach her a little bit.
You just can't.
No, I love that. I love that. Yeah. Like, I'm not the one. Go troll someone else.
And they stopped.
Well, because here's the thing. Wow. Even if you do it the way that those people are telling you to do it, there's another group that disagrees with that way. And then
you can't win.
There was a woman. I took a picture of Ocean and she was in a stroller. And this woman was like, for the love of God, learn how to put your baby in a car seat. And she had like, her handle was like so-and-so and so-and-so's mom. So I responded, I was like, babe, it scares me that you have two children and you don't know the difference between a car seat and a stroller. It's not a fucking car seat. Like,
good.
What do you work, you know?
And sometimes you have to call out their like outlandish comments.
Right? No,
like,
it's crazy stuff. It's crazy stuff.
I'll give you a line that you can tell people. Uh-oh. You say,
tell me, give it
you
to
say,
me.
The coyotes howl and the caravan keeps moving. That's like, like it's the best. Well, especially for both of you because like people are just chirping in at every angle, right? It's like you can't appease her when you gotta
no,
keep going.
No, you really can't.
Yeah, how about just not giving advice over the internet to other people that you don't know?
But it's like, go do something to someone you don't know me. You're not, like you said, your car was parked. Like, it doesn't matter. You're not in the environment. You have no idea what's going on. At all, I could be mid taking her out because we're gonna go on a little stroll. Like, don't just like enough. Shut up.
But also, like, what my thing again is, who has the time? Like,
a lot of people
focus,
have the time.
Focus
babe.
On doing something productive.
A lot of people have the time.
Okay, well, but I mean,
you don't. You can't really.
I think that if you should take the productive energy of focusing on other people's lives and put it towards your own life.
Well, again, 100%. Like what we kind of talked about on our show is. I try to reverse engineer it and kind of empathize with the type of, why are you in a place where you feel you need to say these things, right? And it's most likely because they're in a pain place or they're insecure or something's not going well. And it's a reflection on how inadequacy in their own life. And so what they're doing is they're saying, okay, in order for me to feel normal and justify my feelings, I'm going to lash out at others to bring them into this world of pain. It's like, I think when you think about it that way, it's hard to get angry at those people because you're like, okay, like this is like a person that may be in a broken state of mind.
You should be a life coach.
God, fuck no.
No, but you make so much sense. And like, it's way you put things, it's like, oh yeah, that is how I should do things. So I read that you guys came up with the name, you say it Zaza.
Yes.
Because you thought that it was Zsa Gabor.
I am obsessed with Zsa Gabor. I've always been obsessed with her.
Okay, tell me why.
She's had eight husbands, and she made money off each husband.
So
and became a gazillionaire off each husband. And I think it's funny. I think it's like she like played the game against the guys back in the day. Like she just went in, no prenup, and just like you got to read her books. She's really inspiring.
Really,
she's unapologetically herself. She just really was someone who was outspoken in that day and age. And she didn't play by the rules.
Okay.
So I've read all her books, and I would always tell Michael, I'm obsessed with Zsa Gabor. I'm obsessed with Zsa Gabor over and over. And finally, one day, he's like, it's Zsa.
Was this after you named your baby Zsa?
No, and then I'm like, oh my God, I'm naming my baby Zsa. So the name is like kind of made up.
I think the origin of Zsa is like an old Prussian name, maybe?
Or no, it's Hungarian.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. But
get it right.
Maybe fact check that. But anyways,
he's like, but why?
But I don't like I don't prefer the name Zsa to Zaza. And I was like, if you want to call her Zaza, you can't spell it Zsa because that's how you spell.
We wanted it to be easy on
like
the consumer.
Zsa. Right. Is how you spell
what if she wants to do Zsa Beauty?
Give them Zsa Beauty.
It's kind of like your name actually, Lala and Zaza.
No, that's exactly what it is.
Oh my
I love
God,
it,
I
except
never...
she's lucky enough to have it as her government name, yes. And mine's just a nickname.
Will you change your name?
I should change my name.
I mean, I feel like your name's Lala.
My name is Lala.
Do you ever call her Lauren when you're in a fight? That's a good one.
Yeah.
No. See, but that's the thing.
Lauren.
I say Lauren, she goes, it's Lauren.
It is Lauren. That's why I go by Lala, because people call me Lauren, and
oh,
it's
I
not
didn't know
Oh,
that.
She doesn't like Lauren.
Oh. Well, because that's not my name.
But what's the difference?
Wait, how do you say it? Lauren?
Lauren.
Yeah, when I tell Lauren. People, they're like, Lauren.
say your name. Just, say it.
Lauren.
And then
Lauren.
What's the other one?
Lauren.
Okay.
It's kind of weird.
Lauren and Lauren.
It's like a little consumer confusion. Like, I can see.
I agree.
It's smart. You did
some of the terrible reviews we get on our podcast, just to call out our terrible reviews, is they get mad at some of this one's pronunciation.
Listen, I'm not giving my energy towards anything that's not important. It's sometimes
like,
it's not
can't
important
you be more professional? You have a podcast.
Wow.
Can't you speak right?
Well, you know what? Here. The other day, someone told me If you're going to name a bronzer Ibiza, you need to say it correctly. It's Ibiza.
I don't like saying it.
Oh my God, I hate that.
I don't either.
I hate that.
I'm American. Ibiza. That's a Z. I'm going to say it because I sound like an
idiot. You should say it's actually called Ibiza.
It is Ibiza.
You should just say that's what it's called, Ibiza. It's
called Ibiza.
Yeah.
And when people come in, like, I'm going to Ibiza.
Your bronzer is Ibiza.
Correct.
Yeah.
There is Ibiza.
There it is. Yeah, thank
you. There is Ibiza. The bronzer is Ibiza.
Yeah, and by the way, I go to Ibiza, not Ibiza. I don't even know where that is, Ibiza.
You guys are amazing.
Yo, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
Do you feel
you.
Like you're doing our... I mean, I could talk to you guys for
no,
hours.
We could.
What's the time?
Right, we got to wrap it up.
All right, we got to wrap it up. All right, thank you guys so much for doing the podcast swap with us.
You're welcome. Yes. You guys go listen to them on our podcast. You guys were really, really good.
Well, we had the best time with
no
you guys.
No bullshit. Open invite.
No, we're going to do CAP.
Yeah.
Well,
I kind of forgot.
We're going to go on other trips.
Michael's a big planner.
I love trips.
Yeah, just...
I'm a professional trip planner.
Come to Miami with us.
When are you going?
Birthday, September 2nd through the 6th. You're invited.
Don't tell us that.
No, I'm serious.
Do it. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Give Them La La with Randall, and we will catch you next week.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.